Number 26. The date today is
Tuesday.
Tuesday, hooray! Hooray! The 18th of October in 2005.
Isn't that Rocktober?
Yeah.
The date today is Rocktober the 18th.
And we've got some Rocktober special Rocktober guests. The rockin' guests. The guests.
You know, I knew you'd try and make a play on that.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. Well, that's why they chose the name.
Do you write? Do you write headlines for the Daily Telegraph when you're not doing this?
I should.
Yeah, you should.
it's your spiritual twin.
Is that job going?
It's always going if you're willing to work for low enough wages.
Maybe I'll just write a few and send them to them.
Yeah, I think you should. So the guests, can you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah.
I'm Dane.
Scott.
Yeah, this is Joe.
Chris.
Hello.
Chris, you're better known as Cummo.
Cumsy?
That's you.
Come to be known as Cummo.
From Cummings.
Never mind.
His surname
is. Oh, okay.
I'll go to that one.
It's Chris Cummings.
It helps to know that, you know.
Not enough to tell people.
How do the girls respond to that one?
Have you got anything else?
No. Never come up into your sick, depraved mind, Tomboy.
Alright, so the guests are a band. And they play music.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
And they're called the guests, just in case that was not yet clear.
I know the fun we're going to have with that.
And yet... What's happening?
Nothing.
The level's not so hot. We'll turn that up. That sounds better. There's enough. I'll fiddle with it.
Excellent. We're going to play a song, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, what's the name of the song?
Clickin' Song.
Clickin', as opposed to clicking...
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do intro that song in any way?
Words of wisdom.
Tell us about it.
No.
All right.
No, it's a song that we couldn't really think of a name for, and usually in our live rock version, the drums do a little clicking thing. But cool name for a song, the clicking song. So
yeah.
I guess here it is.
Radio's going to love it.
Yeah.
Go the Shears.
Or not.
Take me now.
clicking song.
Clicking.
So, clicking. So cool because the drummer clicks.
In a different version, right?
Apparently. Yeah. It's pretty right. proud of it.
John, do you detect any influences in the guest's music?
None that come heavily to mind, although it kind of hits that whole angst rock thing. That
angst rock. Is that getting close to emo?
Yeah, in its way. Although emo's got more punk to it, doesn't
not
it?
Not bloody more emo punk. Again.
Yeah.
The emo. Bloody,
bloody emo. We talk about emo.
Well, why don't we ask them themselves?
What do you guys think you
not
like?
Emo.
What's the sort of music that you like? What
I
do you
think it is
to?
Emo because... Dane wrote the words and he's emotional when it's
emotional music.
I'm detecting a bit of
isn't it meant to be emotional hardcore punk?
No,
yeah.
No way. Don't go there.
Which isn't you. All right.
Emo.
I reckon you've got 3 or 4 haircuts that could possibly be emo.
I just got my cut.
Yeah. You're letting down the team, mate.
Female attention.
I wouldn't call it emo. I'd call it lazy. That's probably why we don't
so get it's slacker angst, is
yeah,
that what we're...
Yeah,
okay.
That says just beautiful into my story from Associated Press about the canine cop who took early retirement after bosses at South Yorkshire Police noted his poor motivation and a fondness for making friends with rowdy drunkards. His former handler said some Monday. And I'll just read you this bit. It's about the police dog retired from service due to being, well, crap. Here's the investigation that really triggered off the alarm bells. On one occasion, Buster, well, we shouldn't name names here, but Buster walked straight past a suspected criminal hiding in the garden of a house late at night and went off to cock his leg. And Mr. Plod says, I searched the garden myself and found the bloke. The dog had walked past the spot where I found him, Mr. Plod said. You would have expected him to use his nose to locate him.
Maybe it was a friend of his.
It may well be. And he's got quite a few friends. When patrolling Rotherham at pub closing times, when the streets are often crowded with drunken revellers, Buster wagged his tail when people came up to him and ate their fries instead of deterring potential troublemakers, his former handler said. He just showed no interest in doing the job.
So basically,
he had no fire in his belly. So I'm thinking here that
basically, it was a decent dog.
Decent dog
wanted to be friends with people, have a chip. No interest in growling at people and biting them. No good for the police.
No,
I don't know. I watch the Bill sometimes, and they're big on community policing.
Yeah, but they haven't got any dogs, though, have they? That's what the Met need. Actually, they should get team up with Inspector Rex on the Bill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rex can be a bit of a bastard, though, can't he?
Well, but yeah, but he's a straight man. This one could be the funny man.
So you think Rex and Buster?
Rex and Buster, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
We've copyrighted that, so if anyone's listening...
Should pitch that to the Czechs.
We'll do that now.
Now, I want to ask these boys here, why do you play music? What's in it for you? Does it work... does it work well at school... with the chicks?
Because, sorry, we discussed this off mic. You are all at school together finishing year 12?
No, they're not. No. They're at university finishing their PhDs.
Yeah.
In physics. Rock and roll.
You just want to make it sound like they're as old as you, don't you, Gertrude?
Even then they wouldn't be as old as me.
We're not going to say what type of school, but they're at a certain
type No, we'll do
school.
That later.
I'll answer the question. Come on, someone.
Does it get
why
your cheeks?
Why do we love music?
Yeah,
no, it doesn't get your cheeks.
Look at me.
It's definitely not. Right, no. So you had your hair cut because of a girl?
Nah, just to try.
Ah, come on, Scotty.
His mother.
Probably true.
Dragged you down by your ear, right? So come on, we want to know.
No, I'm serious. So about music. Why play music? Is the answer... because they can't not, or...
Want to get into it, like, watch bands all the time, listen to bands, and just want to be a part of it, I think.
Guess. Yeah, well, at first it was just to get together and get pissed and have a reason to, pretty much,
lot, yeah.
For the first little bit, and then we actually thought, you know, this sounds kind of good.
Mm.
So, that's when we started to get real serious and write our own tunes, and ever since we started writing our own music and people have liked it, that's just why we enjoy it, just... people
so
telling
rewarding.
Us that they do enjoy it, yeah.
So you play gigs, people give you a really good response, you feel like king for the night.
Yeah.
Even when they're lying, we know they are. But
your mates and so on. Yeah. But do you play to other audiences? Just
I was going to say, where do you guys play these days?
On Friday we just played at the Green Room.
Yeah.
Who
are you with there?
Mauvais Noir.
Okay, yeah.
Played a few sports,
yeah. Laudable Hum.
What do you think of Mauvais Noir, by the way?
I heard them on CD.
Right.
From an old Caught in the Act thing. And they used to be more bluesy, I think. Mm. But now they're gone sort of Pantera.
I always admired Mauvais Noir because they have the perfect name to go on posters. See the posters slapped on telegraph poles and just Mauvais Noir.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Very particularly if you were in Sydney and they have those telegraph poles.
Well, they put it on poles here.
Yeah.
Do they?
Same everywhere.
Smart.
But no, their front man was
good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Great to watch.
But has their front man recently changed?
I don't know.
There was this dude on...
He's got crazy...
As a person?
He's still a male.
I heard that they sacked one front singer and got a new one.
We know one person that was a guitarist in the band, but I don't know about singer.
So you haven't seen them?
Only on Friday.
You saw them on Friday?
That was the first time
when
we played.
Right. And they had that guy who's got the long, curly black hair, and he's a real showman.
He was
actually on State Line on Saturday. He's the music teacher at Arundel
College.
That was him.
And he also, I think, I don't know if he won, I don't know what level, if it was the ACT or the National Air Guitar Championship.
Yeah, I saw that story as I was passing out on Friday night. It all comes back to me now. I'd had no recollection of that.
Yeah, and not only that, he flew into Baghdad with Angry Anderson and played for the Australian troops. Electric guitarist, but he just sings in Mauvais Noir.
Yeah.
Oh, he does play guitar, but most gigs he doesn't play. That's what he's telling me anyway.
Hmm.
Sweet.
So if the lead guitar's too pissed and doesn't
play.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Anyway, he's a bit of a rock guy.
Do you want to get Mauvais Noir in here and we'll just...
That's kind of...
we're scoping them now.
Don't like that sort of music at all, to be honest.
Well, you're just leading the pig now, aren't you?
they have a lot of...
They're going to hear that and say, damn it, we want to be on you. Anyway,
we can
drink.
They can come, that's fine.
That's cool.
We'll slug it out.
Let's do another song. We've been talking far too long.
Yeah, okay. Sun Patch Parade. I thought it might be Queen Bean, but it's Tomokin.
And this is...
Which is on the south coast of New South Wales.
Yeah. Lovely little spot.
Spot on.
And it has a road called Sunpatch Parade.
Yeah. And now caravan parks on there.
Ah, that's the best sort of road.
I should keep telling you that sort of
thing. No.
Here we go.
today when I read that horrible.
We're on, Gertrude.
Tell us about your shocking...
Look, I read... I was Googling Frank Zappa, and I found this article by a guy called Ian Penman, who's a famous rock critic, apparently.
Hmm.
And he only had bad things to say about Frank Zappa, and it shattered my complete worldview.
So
now I'm a loose cannon on the deck of humanity,
so
rolling around. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sorry, it shattered your view of the reviewer or your view of Frank Zappa?
Well,
and
just
humanity.
How people could see Frank
that
Zappa.
That anyone could possibly see Frank Zappa
there's
like
anything
that.
But
what did it say? The green dress?
Hmm. What do you think?
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
What
really?
Are we here to talk about? We're here to talk about the guests.
We're here to talk about the guests. Have you ever heard Frank Zappa?
Tell us your views on Frank Zappa.
Is Frank Zappa an influence?
No.
Have you ever heard of Frank Zappa?
Yeah.
I've heard of him.
Heard of him?
No, my dad's a big fan.
Right.
He cranks out in the car. And
yeah,
right. Oh,
what do you think?
Yeah, it's good. I don't know.
I just think I couldn't possibly... It's so... complicated everything he does that it would be a nightmare to play with him learning.
He's got a songbook, a guitar lick his book.
Yeah.
You can imagine
Deep
how
Purple, right, their best
bloody complicated that is.
Something happened in his gig there,
yes.
Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
Hey.
Smoke on the Water
down.
Wasn't Frank Zappa, was
it?
It's about
Frank Zappa. It's about
Frank Zappa.
It's about when his band played. And
something burned down and they sat across watching.
So Deep
it
Purple down just covered Frank Zappa.
No, they wrote it out. They wrote it. They were watching this.
Because I heard it was a gig they were doing where the stuff burned down. I didn't never heard the Frank Zappa connection.
Yeah,
it was
Frank,
a Frank Zappa
it's
gig.
It's in the
yeah.
lyrics.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Zappa, or was it when the Mothers played? I don't know, yeah. But yeah, Deep Purple wrote it about Frank Zappa because he's such a legend.
So is Deep
Lee.
Purple an influence?
Take that,
yeah.
Ian Penman.
Yeah, Ian
cock.
Penman.
Yeah. I wouldn't
yeah.
say that.
No,
Deep
got...
Purple's not an influence, so...
Are Radiohead an influence?
To me, yeah.
Yeah.
The
Verve.
What
thank
about
you.
The Verve?
No.
Which yeah. album? Benz or OK Computer?
Probably OK Computer.
Alright.
Yeah.
Now, what about Iron-On?
Iron-On.
Yeah.
We just played a gig with them, that's where the badge is.
Right. I saw the badge and the sticker. They've got a new 10 song album.
Yeah.
No, this
yeah,
band
cool.
is the Velvet Underground.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we all.
You like Velvet Underground. Yeah,
is that a general Lou Reed thing or just the Velvet Underground?
More
I don't like
Lou Reed as
yeah.
much when he went solo.
Yeah.
Transformers alright, but
I like Transformers.
But yeah. But I like the Velvet Underground stuff more.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's I mean that sort of it is fairly grungy sort of sound.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Very lo-fi.
Yeah.
Very steady beat and just plodding along and rocking it out. That's, yeah.
Well, like that's
kind some of sweet stuff stuff, though, as well.
Yeah.
My first album, Who Loves the Sun, that's a very kind of poppy, happy song.
So which side are you leaning to? More the sort of heroin side or the good night, ladies. Ladies, good night.
If there was a
you know
middle
one?
Between those two, that's
right,
probably
so
where, yeah.
So I'm a little bit lyrical and a little bit, I don't know what the other thing is.
I wanted to ask, Kama, your guitar, you're doing very much the high notes. As he plays, almost a Neil Young sort of thing going on there, or?
We did a lot of it for the acoustic sort of
sure.
thing. It changes up on like a live rock.
Okay.
We should note that, I mean, the music that's in this podcast is vastly different from your normal live show.
Yeah.
And we might even, maybe for our next song, in fact, we might slide in a one of your demo recordings.
Yeah, cool.
Which
okay.
one?
Probably Broken Track.
Broken Track.
Okay, well, did we just want to
Broken
say
Track
that
off
now?
The demo. Okay, let's go.
Wild and Crazy. Don't even know.
Five.
I was just going, what was that song? Broken Track.
And why did you call that Broken Track?
Dane.
Well, the song's kind of about someone going too fast, and it's kind of like a broken track or a broken
like
way
on
you're
a
going
tank?
To go. Sorry?
Like on a tank when it throws a track?
No, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't
no, that. No, I wouldn't say that. It's kind of just like the track you're going on, it's broken, and it's going to come for you one day, and you're going to hit it. And
it's going to fall off.
Yeah.
So you're the the main songwriter?
Yeah, like me and Chris. Me and Chris write most of the songs together, and then we all.
I just play bass.
Yeah, so
you do realize how in demand bass players are in this town at the moment?
Yeah,
like every band we have on, they're like, oh, funny, we find a bass player.
You had a haircut for your new interview for a new band, didn't you?
A lot of those bands are just full of cute women desperate for a bass player.
Sweet.
Bass players are so in demand in Canberra at the moment, I think.
Well, Hancock Basement.
Yeah, I'll go join Hancock Basement.
Adelaide or whatever they're called.
Adelaide have got a bass player.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
that girl.
Yeah. The one who paid you
out.
You
liked her.
Yeah. She was cool. But you write your own parts, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Don't have Hitler breathing down my neck, so.
Hitler would be dope.
No. Yeah.
Do you ever listen to his bass tracks and go, nah?
Do you text Ron Little Mustache
on
your nose and just step around the
room? Yeah, no, I'd get on his back sometimes about it, but it's only because he's the youngest and I can.
Yeah.
I'm younger than these two, so he's younger than me, so he's like my little brother.
Is he like our bass player? Does he get really pissed before gigs and then
and
not before.
Just after.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm too like beers.
Do you guys like have a shed you practice in or someone's house?
Yeah,
or
Joe's house.
Yeah?
It's pretty much custom made for us, which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
in the lounge room.
No, it's a back shed.
Yeah,
back
sort shed. Of built like a back garage and sort of soundproofed it and got all 8 cartons over the roof and.
Yeah, neighbours never complained.
No,
never
not yet.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's kind of like an old
carton
school bar.
A room once. Mm. Very effective.
Why did you eat carton a room, Gertrude?
I was part of a group who was applying for a community radio license in the western suburbs of Sydney.
Right.
Yes.
So you needed a studio, and you made it yourself.
And we made it ourselves, yes,
right.
We did.
And you were allowed to use your egg to neighbour, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was years later, and I was possibly experiencing some sort of psychotic episode at the time, so I don't want to be held responsible for it, okay?
Did you get your licence?
Yeah, we did, actually. We were competing with a whole lot of other people. We kept calling them up, requesting songs that we knew they weren't allowed to play.
Right.
Like Cocaine. Can you play Cocaine by JoJo Cal? They're playing a drug song.
Why?
We were only 19, okay? No.
Yeah, but no, okay. So what's the deal that playing druggy songs will get losing?
Oh, it was actually, it wasn't. It was more there was these. Yeah, that's right. You weren't allowed to. Well, it was one of the things when you were competing for the community license, you weren't allowed to have certain things in your broadcast, like on. CXX, you're not allowed to have drug references.
Drug references. Except when they have Jim Boots in that bitch cuts, it all goes to hell.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
Have you been invited back yet?
No. Yet.
I wonder how they get away with the news from the drug war front then, exactly.
Yeah, all those name Chomsky speeches.
Yeah. There's no music.
Now, Gertrude, you had a banality for us.
I do. In fact, you brought it in for us, but I thought it might be worthwhile talking about.
I bring in
about.
A wide selection.
Now,
you chose it. It's yours.
Because, well, it's funny. It's like I set myself up every week to be outraged by John Boy's attitudes to these things. Reuters brings us the news that sex workers want rights and an end to discrimination, which sounds fair enough to me. I've never been a sex worker myself, but I mean, I think they provide a valuable service to the community in some ways. I'm not exactly sure about many things to do with this issue.
They're just like taxi drivers.
No,
very,
they're not just
hard.
Like taxi drivers because
they don't have to pay
$100,000
for their license for a start.
The reason I can't talk about this is because I did a year of women's studies at university and a course including the history of Western sexuality and all sorts of things which make it impossible for me to talk about this subject.
Shouldn't
that
help
sense
you talk
to anybody
about
else? But in many European states, the sex industry flourishes in the black market where women are trafficked from poor countries to work as prostitutes. Their passports are often stolen to prevent their escape out of sex slavery. I think that's the most important sentence because, obviously, legislating about sex workers would legislation about sex workers would might end that. If it stopped being black market, I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, but it's already illegal to smuggle people and hold their passports and make them work for sex.
Obviously, but the fact that there's a black market industry that flourishes, an industry
that does indicate liberalisation might help that. Yes, yes.
Well, you know, as a public servant, being part of a deregulated industrial relations market in Australia, I'm scared that I'm going to be smuggled in the back of a truck to New Zealand or somewhere and made to, you know, read legal documents day after day after day.
Right.
I'm scared, and I think that we all need to stick together, all of us, not just sex workers sticking together with each other.
What were the slogans for their
campaign? I was getting to that. Now, I might feel a little bit uncomfortable about aligning myself with people who wear stickers that read Sluts Unite and Whore Power.
I think they're quite appropriate for people that read legal documents. Like lawyers.
I think you've got a point there. Perhaps, maybe. No, not all lawyers are sluts.
What sort of...
Stop. It's people who generalise like you.
What sort of statement would wearing a slut power badge make, or whore power badge make, in the workplace, do you think?
Well, actually, at Dura at the moment, I think it's doing very well. You'd be climbing up that slippery pole faster than you could say Australia.
Yeah, but you'd actually have to climb some slippery poles, wouldn't you?
Yeah, possibly with a bit of dancing. I believe, though, John Boy, you think no labour should be regulated at all?
No, not at all. I wasn't saying no labour should be regulated. The bits you haven't read out of the story were that it's they're protesting at a European level, basically trying to nobble the fat cats in Brussels into bringing in transnational regulation throughout the whole of Europe. Now, while I agree with the rules that they would like to have, and I think it's great, I just hate the EU's transnational agendas. So I would rather if they went back to their home countries and tried to get things fixed there.
So, the guests, have you written any songs about this?
Yeah. Do you want to end discrimination of the sex industry?
Because they're often called guest workers in Germany.
That's true. How do you feel about guest workers?
Your unmusical cousin.
Have you ever been to a prostitute?
Scott.
Well, you weren't going to say anything.
We need someone who's got some first-hand experience of the sex industry.
I'm so jealous.
So, Scott.
What have you got to tell us,
What's
Scott?
My secret?
Let's call you Steve.
Should the porn industry be regulated to try
porn
and stop things
prostitution,
like...
Porn industry and prostitution are technically difficult for all that they do merge.
The sex industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, where to begin? I just reckon, I don't know, what you said something about sex slavery or whatever, prostitution. Mm-hmm. I just reckon when you become enslaved, I reckon that's a bit too far.
Damn straight. Well, when you go to see a prostitute, you want her to be...
Yeah, but no one's being shipped to Mitchell, are they? They're not going...
No.
There was talk about it a couple of years ago, but it was handled very badly, so no one's really sure what's going on there.
I actually know someone who works for AGs and worked on some...
Sex Slavery Task Force?
Legislation, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a brothel across the road for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
And for all I know, there might have been some sex slaves in there. It was like... she was operating... I knew the person who owned the house. And they set up in there, and the rule is that you're allowed to be in Canberra, in the suburbs, a sole trader working in a suburban area.
As long as it's just you.
In your own residence. But how do you prove it, you know?
Exactly.
Cops would turn up, there might be two or three women there, they're just sitting around smoking fags.
I think if someone's got their dick up, all of them.
Well, that's it, you've got a chance that they're all going to be at work at the same time.
Yeah. These have to be women?
No.
The male sex trade is an interesting one,
it doesn't make it. No, gender doesn't make any difference. Nationality doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, but there's not like the supply and demand works out very differently in the male sex industry, as near as I can tell, having had very, very little experience of it. Although one day, Jim, we did
very little.
We did. I went into a bar on Oxford Street once and got propositioned. So that would be the limit of my experience of the
sex
trade. No, I didn't.
So that's quite limited then, really.
But a friend of mine in a nightclub here in Canberra once got offered $500 to let a guy suck his dick.
Oh,
so And that's
terrible because he might have been really broke and gone and gone
off. No.
If a guy
you told me, but for $500 to say anyone would be tempted.
I would do it, no worries.
but you're special, Jim.
I was gonna say you're unlikely to get that offer, but
why would you say such a thing?
It's the beard, you know.
You never know. People have got strange tastes.
It could come up.
It's true.
Typically, strange people have strange tastes.
If it was the other way around, if I had to suck his dick, no way.
Well, exactly. That's a whole different.
Not without a bowl of Dettol and a few cotton buds or something.
I'm hoping my family are going to listen to this podcast one day.
Hi, Mom.
So Gertrude, you know, for $500. Anyway.
Indecent
not
proposal.
Let's face it, no one here's got $500.
So we're heading into Oscar Wilde territory here.
I know Lucas Hammond, so...
I'd wear one of the stickers, though.
A Hawkeye sticker.
Right, we're really seriously running out of time here, folks.
Excellent.
We're going to play another song.
Let's do it.
It's called One Last Stand.
My hand.
Cheeky out there.
I think that clapping was extraordinarily well timed, and I'd just like to say that the Insatiable Banalities team are available for studio recordings throughout the world.
Any clapping required?
We're on.
I did the clicking.
Except for Jim's little fuck up, which is funny because he's the only musician out of us.
But the drummer here said that he also fucked up.
Guest accepted.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, so it was the drummer's fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Threw me off.
Okay, that was called One Last Stand.
One Last Stand.
What's that about?
As Dane's normally known for, girl.
Girl. A girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What else is there to write a song about?
Yeah. And it was a last stand with this girl.
Yeah. One Last Stand.
Right. Well, are we talking about a little bit of backsliding here,
anyway,
or are we talking about doing the nasty before you break up with
her? Oh, no. Just, yeah. I don't know. I'm all
embarrassed.
Infecting them with
confused.
Your cynical view of romantic relationships. They're probably already cynical enough as it is.
Right, yeah. But the answer to the question was...
Sorry.
What is the answer?
There you go. Sorry. Very sorry. There you go.
So, what was the go?
We were together for a while and we broke up, and I thought, you know, we had our one last sort of stand and we were together, and then that was it.
So you already knew you were breaking up when you got
Shedding
a tear here.
I'm too embarrassed.
It is a bit, isn't it?
It is.
Still a bit crude, but I mean, you could imagine a young man.
Yeah.
It's like he knows he's got to break up with a girl, but she's still... gorgeous, voluptuous.
So let's just say they had one last go in the sack and leave it at that.
One Last Stand does sound a little more romantic than One Last Go in the sack.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to call it.
Yeah. I just wanted to know the timing of the breakup vis a vis the go in the sack.
Yeah.
You're creepy.
No, he's salacious. Salacious. Or he's looking for salacious content, which is fine.
I just want to know what the damn song's about, alright?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Timing is everything with these things.
A girl.
Okay. It's just about a girl and we'll step back from the precipice.
I like it because it's about a break. I mean, just about every song that I've ever written is a breakup song. Breakup songs are much better than... not so many, but they were real good ones. So much material. Yeah.
It's very hard to write anything of any merit when you're happy, I find.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Unless you... Well, yeah.
Oh, surely... No, you're right.
Feeling groovies, all right? How about that one?
Yeah, but that's it. That's the one. That's one thing written.
Feeling groovy. Feeling groovy.
Yeah, it's happened to me before. It's happened to me at the moment because I'm reasonably happy at the moment, and I'm finding it much harder to have anything to say because I'd rather... just wander off and be happy than sit at a keyboard on the internet.
Perhaps a banality then, Joe.
Sorry? Onto the banality, right, rather than talking about my love life. Okay. Now, this
good,
is...
Good segue, darling. Sorry.
This is Shock Horror from the Associated Press, and they're talking about Oregon, I think. I'm not... It's somewhere in America.
Oregon.
That's true, Oregon is somewhere
Ogden,
in
Weber
America.
And Davis school districts, but they're not saying what state... Anyway, girls are wearing pyjama bottoms to school. And it seems other girls at the schools are the most offended by this.
I used to wear pyjamas to school.
Yeah?
Honestly.
Yeah?
In year 12.
Yeah.
I lived just up the road.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty alternative, wacky, hippie school.
You were just aiming for a lifetime of overachievement right there and then, weren't you?
I had a very snazzy green dressing gown.
You wore your dressing gown. Is this
and
just pyjama bottoms?
And the strange thing was that I slept naked.
So you didn't get... You'd make an effort to go to school then. You got up.
I don't know.
The old daily grind. Better put the dressing gown on and the flannel pants.
I think I was just testing, you know, like what was possible. And I wore my pyjamas to school and nobody said anything. Particularly.
There comes a point when people don't say anything where it doesn't mean they accept what you're doing as much as they've given you up as
they're
a lost cause.
They were wrong.
Right, okay. The line I liked out of this story was the teachers saying, I think sometimes we need to pick our battles. Should we get into a tussle over pyjamas? And
They're basically saying that, here's a quote, "Pajama bottoms would be an improvement for some of our kids," said Ogden High School Principal Ed Jensen. So,
yeah, I mean, what makes a pajama bottom anyway?
A flannelette, basically, isn't it?
It's just the pattern or something like that. They're discreet. They cover up their entire leg bit.
Yeah. I guess the other question is whether there's any underwear underneath them.
Yeah, right.
Especially
question
at all.
You don't
need to put that in the article.
True, but my point with acceptability, and I guess no one cares if there's underwear under the clothes people are wearing. Well, I care, but anyway.
I guess if the PJs, if they've got the what do you call the what would be the fly where there's obviously
the flaps.
You call them the flaps.
Yeah,
well, I guess it's better than access portal.
I think girls' pajama bottoms tend to be more.
There's no flapless. Flaps in girls' pajama bottoms. Okay.
It's just an example.
Wonder why.
15-year-old me is giggling.
It's just an example of a lot of the silly things in our society. Like you can go to the beach and wear a bikini, which is basically exactly the same. Covers the same amount of flesh as underwear, but you can't walk around in the street in your underwear. But you
can walk around the street in your swimmers if you're near the beach.
If you're near the beach, but only within 100 metres, you know, past there, it's no, you should have a shawl on or something. Wrap a towel around your waist. I don't know, it's crazy. Not so. Why can't you wear pyjamas to school?
Or bikinis.
Well, you can. Well, they do, and they prefer the pyjamas.
I have thought at times it would be good if we could all go around naked, but that's just because I'm sick of folding clothes up and putting them away, basically.
This is a mother speaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's mother speaking. Yeah.
And here's a segue attempt, okay, just a... Mm-hmm. And, smooth and so far. Wearing pyjamas to school, I reckon, would depend possibly on what age you were.
Yes.
You know, young girls wearing pyjamas to school, I see no problem. Older girls... On the other hand.
Now, when you boys talk about older girls, how old are we actually talking here?
12.
Oh, you wrote this song when you were in pharmacy. All right, let's hear older girls.
Right, and then we'll ask you again about how old older girls are.
Gonna be somebody else's friend.
was shocking. Come on, that was shocking. That last bit at the end. Oh, bloody hell.
Like, I looked at you and I thought, oh, I'm going to do it.
I thought we were just going to keep going.
No, your guitar when you first came in.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, out of time.
Can I go and grab another beer?
Yes.
That was Older Girls. I was a total bastard on the last one, and I want to know on this one, what's that one about?
It's kind of about a girl I know, but it's kind of just a reference to all girls, I think, like, growing
but
up.
But only the older ones.
No, yeah. No, don't get it wrong, don't get it mixed up.
But,
we say it's for older girls, but it's about
it's kind of more about growing up. Like, we did write this song, it was probably the second song we ever wrote. It just seemed to us as girls got older, they started to like different things and different guys, and it just kind of, at the time, it's kind of hard to say
now that they got older.
Yeah.
And it just, girls, when they get older,
so,
we just don't get them anymore.
So what it is,
so you got
the girls,
younger.
The girls,
yeah, well,
are maturing. The girls are maturing, I think, and the boys are just saying, we're still dorky teenagers, and the girls are like running off.
I reckon they just try to.
No,
I think you're right, Scott. I think you're right. Girls do get, they do have such enormous pressure. Well, I mean, everyone does, but girls do that thing where they have to have the right things and say the right things.
They go into society, where we sort of just stayed the same, and they more followed all the rules.
That's right. They're much more interested in achieving prestige norms.
I've got to say, from speaking as being a decade older than you guys, I actually find, for what are for me younger women, but would still be older girls for you, certainly much more interested in what I'm interested in, just because there's this generation of girls coming through who are interested in computers and sitting around playing with computer games and all sorts of things.
You lucky guy.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, girls from, you know, their early 20s are I mean, I've got, you know, my friends my age. I remember last year I was dating a girl and one of them said, oh, can I come around and borrow one of my PlayStation games? I said, oh, I can't do that, so-and-so's got it. And there was just this total silence. We were driving in a car, total silence from the other guys, and they're like, she's borrowed one of your games? And I was like, yeah. So, where do we find a girl who's interested?
At home, so, in front of the TV.
Well, yeah, but it's... so anyway, all I'm just saying, from my point of view, that there's this generation of girls coming through actually interested in things I am. Mm. And...
that's why you're going to go for 6 years younger at least from now on.
Well, for a while. I mean, the other. Yeah. I mean, there are other reasons, but
John Boy's sampling the Canberra dating scene.
I think I'm going to stop sampling for a while.
So off from both the guests' song and John's sex life. Let's now
love life.
You love life, and you love life. You'd love to love.
That's right.
And let's just talk about briefly the guests. If you could all put out your feet, let's have a bit of a talk about your
The shoes.
Your shoes here.
Is
now.
Anyone
not? Oh, no, you want to start? You got the red banded. You got the red banded All Stars there. Is that what you're wearing there?
Yeah, but I got the black shoelaces.
Yeah, they're different.
Okay. Special.
Cool. And mine are a bit raggy.
They're
very
shoelaces.
Raggy.
And then we're seeing Connie High Tops. Connie High Tops, and back to the red banded. Oh,
well, they're
red banded.
Yeah.
What do you call them? Lowies.
Lowies.
Lowies. And I'd just like to say that I'm almost cool. I've got the.
Oh, look at those!
Yeah,
I've
got
the
imitation.
Home brandies.
The imitation home brandies. Yeah. And I should point out.
See, when you get older, you'll have to buy your own shoes. You won't be able to afford them.
Yeah.
Well, that was a really startling observation. Thank you.
Do you guys all choose to wear Converses, or was it just the cool thing to do?
Dane does it, so I thought it's cool.
Yeah. Dane tells us it's cool, so...
There's a difference between choosing to wear it and...
What do mine actually say?
Cool.
Too fat.
It gives us an identity.
No, okay.
You used to.
Can I just say,
not really anymore.
Can I just say, when I was a kid, when I was like 8 or 9 years old, shoes exactly the same as
they were Dunlop volleys.
They were gym boots.
Yeah, gym right. boots. They were.
Is that where your name boots. Came
yeah,
from?
Yes.
They were gym boots. I'm named after a shoe, and those shoes were.
And they're cool now.
They were the cheapest shoes you could buy.
Although I've got to remember, I wasn't cool enough to wear Converse, but my brother, who was in last week's podcast,
yeah.
Which you still haven't finished editing, you slacker.
No, it's coming.
Oh yeah, right. So it's Christmas. Anyway, he wore those, and that was 10 years ago now. So Converse have had a good run in the. Cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely when I was cool, when I was young, cool, everyone had Connies as well. Yeah. But they weren't just blue, they had every fucking colour.
Yeah. Yeah, they did have red.
You could have red, one red one and one green one.
That meant you had to buy two pair.
You could just.
Oh, yeah, when one wore out, you could just.
Swap them with a friend.
Anyway.
Trade.
On that note, I think we should.
Are we done?
That's seal it up. Hours this is going to get. Yeah.
Crap, I just opened a beer.
No, that's right. You can hang around.
I guess so.
We could keep on recording, but just not put it in the podcast.
Nah, let's save it. Let's call an end proceedings.
Into the secrets of
you never know what it's
going to. I think I'll leave.
Next week, we're going to be doing a bum cast. I'm going to be going out into the streets of Canberra and finding a bum and bringing them back here.
Don't get one that's used by Damon, though.
No, invite Dane back again. 2 weeks in a row.
Anyway, thanks very much to the guests for coming in. Our guests, the guests.
Thank you.
Jeez,
you were good
fun. You couldn't resist doing that again, could you?
Yeah.
Have you got a gig horizon for us, the guests?
Comes in. No, Scott's going away. Oh, November 18th.
November 18th.
Because Scott's going away.
At the green room. At the green room. Oh, well, I might actually come to that one because I need an excuse to go there. I've never been there yet.
You don't mean the green room.
I know. It's
it's the mecca of local music in Canberra.
It's shocking, but I can't walk there.
No, that's why I only go like once a year. What you need to do is con a friend into driving.
Yeah, don't get a taxi.
No, for God's sake.
Why not the taxi?
It's cost so much money. I went with a friend and it was a $50 cab back to Belconnen. But he paid it.
Oh, to Belconnen.
Who was he?
Jesus.
Don't go
to Belconnen. Well, don't live in Belconnen, I think.
That's the real moral of the story. But yeah, con a friend into driving to the green room and is the best way.
Okay, John, will you drive me to the
green room?
Fuck you!
All right, we better go.
You can pay the taxi for home. How's that?
Toodle pip.
Okay.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Bro. See you later.
See you later.
Cheers.
Insatiable Banalities.
You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 26, recorded on Tuesday, the 18th of October, 2005.